Today's episode needs no introduction. We are recording today's episode as an emergency to discuss the humanitarian crisis that is happening right now in Artsakh. Paddy Luis Peter, can you give us a quick overview of what has been happening this week and even today in Artsakh?
Yes, thanks, Sophia and Paddy Luis. Following Azerbaijan's attack and Artsakh's surrender, a mass exodus began of essentially what is seeming like all of the people, all of the residents of Artsakh are now fleeing their homes and they're flowing to Armenia proper. This is about a mass exodus of about 120,000 people. Right now, as of this morning, our time, Los Angeles time, about 77,000 some odd people have left Artsakh and have arrived onto Armenian soil safely. What seems to be happening is that whoever is left in Artsakh proper have gathered or are quickly working their ways to Stepanakert because there are significant reports of ethnic cleansing and autocracy taking place.
With these refugees, you know, you said about 77,000. When you listen to this, it might be more than that by that point. You know, they're arriving in Armenia. What kind of immediate need is there?
The Armenian government, the Red Cross, a massive team of volunteers are helping process these people, registering the refugees, helping find them immediate shelter, helping with food, medicine. Because of the gasoline explosion that took place as people were starting to leave, there were a couple of hundred people wounded seriously with burns and things. So, you know, there's ambulances bringing people out. They need immediate medical attention. They're being flown out in some cases from Goris to Yerevan. There's also a significant number of people that were wounded during the attacks. So those wounded are being cared for. I know a doctor from here that is an acquaintance flew there to offer immediate medical assistance. He's an ER doc and they need those kinds of services there. And the Armenian government is reached within its structure throughout the country and is looking for available housing, empty homes and villages, schools, any accommodations, hotels, and each community is being tasked with taking in X number of refugees so that, you know, no one is left on the street and their immediate housing needs are met. This morning, the government announced that for every man, woman, and child in a family from Artsakh, the Armenian government is going to be allocating them 100,000 dram, which is about roughly $250-ish. And that will at least help them with rent and or some of their basic necessities for an immediate time being. And the international community has slowly begun prioritizing humanitarian assistance and earmarking funds for help with the refugees, although I don't think any of that has yet arrived in Armenia. But, you know, the U.S. has pledged 11 million. France has pledged, I think, 5 million euro. So there's some money that's coming in very slowly and sort of very minimal amounts, given the magnitude of this crisis.
Right. And when you say magnitude of this crisis, it's, you know, there's like the immediate need, you know, these people are arriving right now, but the magnitude is that it's going to be a crisis probably for a long time with lasting effects, with people moving into different villages. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can take you to a couple of locations in Armenia right now that have refugees from the 1993-94 that are still living in refugee conditions in Armenia. They were in public space and they never surrendered on their kind of squatters, et cetera, et cetera. But this is going to show that, you know, the Armenian government is going to provide temporary housing, food, medicine, you know, and whatever these families need for a brief period of time. But this is permanent now. Unlike the 2020 war, where people came during the war. You know, men evacuated their families and went back to fight. This is very different. Everyone's coming out now, and there's no hope of going back. So this is their new homes. So, you know, if you do the math and you calculate that, you know, an average family has, you know, four or five people in it, and you're talking about 120,000 people, you're talking about that many housing dwelling units that have to either be built, rebuilt, or found. And, you know, every village in Armenia, every city in Armenia has, you know, a number of available housing units that, you know, whose owners have gone to Russia, gone to, you know, Glendale, wherever, and they're not going to be returning. And, you know, those could be purchased and renovated. But I honestly do not think there's that many housing units. So there's going to have to be a combination of, you know, new housing being built as well as older existing housing being reconditioned and have families moved into.
You brought up 2020, and during the 2020 war, the Potos Foundation created the Emergency Relief Fund. And now in 2023, this week, you guys just launched the Artsakh Refugee Support Fund. You mentioned some of the differences of what that, you know, what that movement of people looked like in 2020 versus now, but how are these funds similar, different? What will the money be going to?
Yeah, quite honestly, personally, I've done this for a lot of years, and I'm really sick of starting emergency funds to house and to help our people. We've suffered plenty, and I think the time is come for us as a community to figure out what we can do to build a strong highest on so we don't go through this again. However, in 2020, we created a fund that provided short-term humanitarian assistance. We were, you know, helping with rent, we were helping with food, medicine, basic necessities, furniture, a variety of things, warm coats, fuel, heaters. We did a whole bunch of that stuff during and immediately after the war. And then with the funds that we had raised, we turned our focus on long-term housing to help house the refugees that had lost their homes in the parts of Artsakh that were given back then into new homes in Armenia. With the, you know, obviously with the need to help these people, as well as the need to try to keep them in Armenia. Because if, you know, if they're living in a hotel for a week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months or 3 months, they're going to get sick of that and they're going to leave for, you know, Russia or the US or somewhere else. So we put that project out there. It was part, we were able to join part of a broader coalition. So we were buying homes and renovating them for families. And two other organizations came in and helped with the economic support for the families, as well as furniture, appliances. So it was really a terrific project. And we were successful in helping 20, you know, almost 30 families through that project. It was terrific. Now, unfortunately, we're in a similar kind of situation. So, you know, right at this moment, the government is doing their part, helping process these families, helping find them a place to stay temporarily, helping them with food, et cetera, et cetera. And the Armenian people and organizations around the world are all stepping up seemingly and doing an awful lot of short-term stuff. So I once again think that our expertise, given the fact that we have a crew on the ground and we've gone through this before, will be focused on longer-term housing solutions. In fact, one of the messages we got out of the Armenian government for now was, you know, hey, we got this short-term stuff, you know, the diaspora and organization should be focused on longer-term housing solutions. So that's what I've asked our team to do. Yesterday, they began reaching out into various communities where we have solid contacts to see what kinds of homes, apartments, et cetera, might be available, with the idea that we would purchase them, renovate them quickly, and then hand them off to these families that are in need. It was interesting. I was on the phone this morning with our team in Armenia, and, you know, we're all seasoned. We're not, you know, we're not kids. We've dealt with this kind of stuff before. And my colleagues were surprised that the people that were, you know, we know people in the government there, you know, mayors, you know, Hamaik Abed, principals of schools, this and that. And as they were talking to them this morning in Armenia, they were shocked that as they were arriving in Armenia from Artsakh, the refugees weren't these, you know, our friends, our colleagues weren't crying in their glasses about losing, having lost everything in Artsakh, having left their lives behind, their homes, their jobs, their, you know, animals, whatever they had there. But rather they were joyous almost over the fact that they were able to get out of Azerbaijan now, because they were terrified that they would be caught at the border and not allowed to leave. So my colleagues were shocked today and shared that with me, and I thought that was an interesting note.
I know it's a long road ahead, and you guys are doing some incredible work. And it is unfortunate that there has to be so many emergency funds and relief funds. But one thing that I do notice is the grassroots and the people coming together. There's no time that we're more unified than in moments like this. And it's very unfortunate, and I hope that and pray for all of the people going through all of this that it is as smooth as possible. And I know Pados is doing everything they can to keep people in houses with all of their necessities. So I'm gonna end this podcast today with what can people do to get involved?
At this moment, it's money, 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 unfortunately. You know, homes are expensive. You know, our fund will be used for both short-term needs as they come up in the coming weeks, as well as long-term, you know, housing resettlement. So it's going to take funding. You know, each home you know, post-2020 war running upwards of $30,000 for the home itself to be purchased and renovated. And then, you know, there's furniture, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's going to be a massive fundraising effort, and that's what we're focused on at the moment. So that, and share the news, share the fundraisers with your family and friends, because we're all going to have to pitch in to help.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we'll include the link directly to the fundraiser in the description of the podcast. You can also find it at podosfoundation.org or visit any of our social media platforms, and you can find the link, and also you can directly donate on social media. Thank you, Peter, for jumping on this podcast so last minute, and thank you to all of our listeners.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Soph. Be safe.